Amen. Well, praise the Lord. What a joy it is to be with y'all here today. I love your pastor. I love this church. And man, my memories of here all these years, and man, goes way back in the 80s. And I remember coming to South Georgia when back in 1978 and 79. And I have people tell me, say, you're the same size now that you were then. And you may chuckle. Well, when I was 12 years old, I wore my dad's suit of 44 regular. Amen. And then my freshman year in high school, I was, well, none of your business how big I was. Amen. But I was laughing a few weeks ago, I guess a month or so ago. It was on Saturday night, and it was 11:48, and I don't remember what it was. Something come up about word uses and everything, and we got to talking about it, and I called Brother Alan Carter. He and I have been friends, well, since we were young teenagers, and as we were talking on the phone last night, and I says, Alan, it's hard to believe that you're 65. He laughed. He said, yeah, whatever, I'm counting the other way. And I said, hard to believe I'm 54. And of course, he'll be 56 in December. And I said, man, it's just, we've known one another for all these years, great friendship. And a lot of the pastors, like your pastor, got to know, and they have known me since I was, I have to say young, can't say small, amen, because I'd have to repent, amen, if I said small. But great memories of through the years of many great pastors through this part that are in heaven. And my dad's there, and Brother Wisehart, and man, I could go through all the others, and I know I'd forget some if I were to try to do that. But a lot of great memories in South Georgia and being here. For the years that I was able to be here and live down over in Valdosta. But I praise God for God's goodness and grace. God has brought us this far by faith. Amen. Just our relying upon God and His goodness and His grace and His mercy and His love. And I thank God for my family. I thank God for Brother Mark and his son Chase, and thank God for their heart for the Lord as well, and appreciate their ministry. I'd ask you to do this. He didn't ask me, he didn't know I was going to say this, but as he was testifying, and that song that he's singing, He Does. God cares about us, and He does. If you'd pray for his wife, Carolyn, she's had one surgery on her liver as far as cancer surgery and things, and then she goes on the 11th, to have, she found out last November, but God's been good through this whole time, hadn't he, Brother Mark? And he's worked, and I give God the glory for that, and you pray for her, because she's going to have a series of other surgeries because of the avenue of the colon cancer and things, and you be mindful of her, and put Mark and Carolyn Young on your prayer list and pray for them. And then if you put their son on their prayer list, Chase, you say, well, why does his name need to be there? He's full of meanness. But anyway, and then add my kids to it because they hang around together. But anyway, but you pray for Mark and Carolyn, if you would. Sometimes you don't know on the back side of the song. Notice I didn't say the front side. It's one thing to stand here and sing. It's another thing to stand here and preach, and your pastor will know this. At times, on the backside, people have no idea the burden that you carry or the load that you're the difficulty you're walking through and the struggles that you're facing. And then when you're singing a song and you the meaning of that song begins to grip your heart. And it may be a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and that's what it's intended for. But on the backside, you don't know the load that the individual may be carrying. And you say, well, hey, on the front side, I'm carrying a load. Well, that's true. And that's why it's meant to be an encouragement and lift. God uses music to encourage our hearts and lift us. Isn't it amazing how that you can, on a difficult day, just, you know, I remember Dr. Weishart saying this, and I know Pastor Holland, you remember this as well. He said, you get the mully grubs. And he said, you get the mully grubs, and boy, things are difficult. But isn't it something how that you can just start humming a bar of amazing grace? And all of a sudden, you're not just humming, but you're singing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. That doesn't make any difference. It's music in God's ear. Amen. And he, listen, he's like, you know, they have these instruments now that when you sing, that if you're off just a little bit, it's called electronic digitally tuning. And it will tune your voice to where the note that you're supposed to be on. Isn't technology something? And they think they're advanced, but that happens to God. Amen. He had the technology already figured out a long time before we did. You say, well, I can't sing a good note. Well, you may not, but lift your voice. He said, listen, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Sing a new song. And that song of God's amazing grace will stir your heart. Take your Bibles this morning to John chapter number 4. I've been praying about what to preach, and I had another sermon I was working on. And this summer, I've been going through and preaching on moments at our church. And I just finished last Sunday, June, July, and then August, going through the segments of moments with the Master, or times and meeting places. And just, I know I did not have enough Sundays in a year to cover all of it, but we were able to just touch some along the way. And I want to preach to you this morning on a touching moment. A touching moment. A moment that changes changes an individual's life. See, a moment of just a fragment of time, just a segment of time, changes everything when you meet with the Master. There's no one quite like Him. There's none as lovely as He, and as wonderful as He, and gracious as He, and as caring as He, and compassionate as He. Listen, understand the truth. Hey, listen, a moment with Him changes everything about your future. Amen? Oh, listen, about your destiny. Your destiny was changed when you came in contact with Him and spent a moment with Him. Oh, thankful for that. Then Mark, a touching moment. I told you John chapter number 4. Go to Mark chapter number 5. I want to look at this account here in Mark chapter number 5. I told you John chapter 4. Let's flip back over to Mark chapter number 5 and the very element of this touching moment. I'm thankful for God's goodness and God's grace and the time that we have, in His precious word. In Mark chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. And He said, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which was had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched the garment. Oh, I like that, amen. And touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she fell in her body that she had been healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Oh, and be whole of thy plague. Father, today, I pray that you'll work in our hearts. I pray that you'll work in our lives. God, I pray that you'll be magnified in our midst today. Minister to us, I pray. Move in our hearts, we pray, God, for your glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. As we began to look here, a touching moment. Mark chapter number 5 is noted to us as just beaming with impossible cases. And as I began to look through life and I began to study the life of Christ, I understand that there are a multitude of individuals that Jesus came into contact with that seem to be to the world and those around as impossible cases. But it's been called, this chapter has been called the Bible's home for incurables. In chapter number 5, we find that these three cases given to us in this chapter, which are absolutely, as we would see in human speakingly, this aspect of hopeless and impossible. But we began to see in this passage the demonic man, and we began to see his life, how he was radically changed as he came in contact with Jesus. As Jesus showed up on the shores of the Gadarean countryside, and his life was changed. Notice again, I make the statement, his eternity was changed. Oh, I'm thankful, thank God, that my eternity was changed one day when I met the Master on that wonderful day, and how he changed my heart and life and made a difference in me. Think about the demonic man here in this passage, and we see how that his life was affected as he came in contact with the Master, how his life was changed. But then we see this diseased woman. We see her life as she is searched, and she her life of misery, and we'll look more at her in just a moment, but we see that she's seeking for hope. She's seeking for healing. She's seeking for a difference in life. And we see she struggle, and we'll come back to that. But aren't you thankful that a moment with the Master, with this woman, changed everything about her life? Then we see the dead girl. We see Jairus' daughter. She's sick upon the bed. But aren't you thankful, thank God, he went to the one that could bring the help that was needed, that raises the dead, that heals the sick, but yet raises the dead. I believe I could say this morning. Listen, he would make undertakers nervous, amen, because as we find in the Word of God, there have been moments of times as the funeral procession was moving down through that Jesus stopped by and he brought to the end the crying and the tears, but brought the hurt and sorrow that was felt, but he brought happiness and rejoicing because he brought them back to life. Amen. Oh, I began to see this passage. All three of these cases were considered impossibility in the Lord's day, and they would still be an impossibility as we focus on them in our day. For instance, that demonic man would be assigned to the mental institution. The poor woman, we know that she would be assigned to the terminal care unit. And the girl, of course, would have been carried somewhere to be placed and buried in a cemetery somewhere. But notice as you move through and I move through as we look and search the Scriptures and we move through these events of the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, we began to understand and discover that Jesus is more than adequate. He's more than adequate to meet the need of the day. Let me remind you today, he's more than adequate to meet your need that you have. I could not go through this auditorium and begin to point each one along the way and begin to divulge what you're facing in your life and what you're going through. There's no way that I could go through and divulge it. But you say, why? Because I do not know what you're facing. I don't know what load you're carrying or the struggle that you're up against. But let me say this. I know that there's one that's adequate to meet your need. There's one that's more, listen, that's adequate to take care of your problem and help you in the situation that you're in. See, what you say, preacher, what do I need? You need a moment with him, amen. That's what makes a difference in our lives, a moment with him. Oh, Jesus is adequate for the situation in our hearts. Oh, nothing's incurable for him. See, in every circumstance that is mentioned, we see that Jesus is more than enough. See, to the man who was demonized, you see Jesus was the great psychiatrist. We see the woman who had the disease in this passage. We see that Jesus was the great physician. And to the girl who was dead, Jesus was the great pediatric physician, amen, that gave life. See, I want us to look at this passage and just kind of focus a little bit on the very aspects of the Master and time with him. Now, there's one thing that I note in this passage of Scripture, as I have in all the ones that I preached, 10 sermons, on the fact of spending time with the Master or times as spent with him. I began to see some things develop. And here we find in each of the situations that I went through and studied and preached on, there is a description, there is a background. Notice with me, first of all, the horror she endured. This woman who had endured great suffering and endured a multitude of this horrific disease and the horrors of it. Notice with me, God always allows us to see the desperation. He allows us to see the need of the individual, to see the sorrow and the pain. And that's why we have recorded in the Word of God these things. I've said this for years. God records the good, the bad, and the ugly. You say, why does he do that? Because in Romans 15:4, he said, for whatsoever written aforetime was written for our learning. It was written to help you. It was written to help me as an individual and build me and help me in my faith and my belief. When he said, hey, they talked to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and said, have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. Notice with me what she endured, her symptoms. We are told that she suffered with this issue of blood. This here, this problem that she has in her body, she has suffered with it. The issue means that word, when you study it out, you'll find that it means a flowing of blood. Whatever may have caused her to have this, we know that she was a very sick woman. We don't know exactly what it was, but she had an issue. Sometimes we don't need to see the bottom of the issue. We just need to see the problem and the circumstances. The Bible shows us her symptoms. But notice with me, not on her symptoms, but notice her suffering in verse number 26. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had sought for help. She wanted help. She was seeking help with her problem. She had suffered physically with this ailment. Listen, she had no energy. That word, plague, that we see is the same word that is translated whip. She had been beat down by this. She was physically overwhelmed by this. See, her disease was like a scourge, a constantly beating her down day after day. She's suffering. She's suffering physically. But she's suffering as well socially. She was, no one wanted to have anything to do with her. See, according to the law, she was unclean. She was not pure. She was unclean. And she was set aside because of her defilement, because of she became an outcast because of what she was facing. Can you think about suffering physically with something, but then just suffering not only physically but emotionally from that? And think about the very truth of it. Physically and then socially being an outcast. She was reduced. This had reduced her to a life of begging for scraps and food and at a distance because of her defilement by the law. But she suffered emotionally. Since the Bible says that she has been this way for 12 years in condition of the average lifespan in those days, as you look at that, can you imagine every day feeling rejection and pushed aside and going through the agonies and the pains of what you are facing physically? It can become overwhelming, become beat down emotionally. You suffer. We see she suffered religiously. As I said a moment ago, she was an outcast because of her defilement. See, under the law, this woman was considered unclean. In Leviticus 15, we began to see that in verses 19 and verses 25 through 27. See, anything or anyone that she touched was considered unclean. As a result, she could not mingle with the people in the public lest she cause them to be defiled. She suffered financially as well. All these elements, I'm giving you something that's not new. I'm just reminding you this morning. Think about the stress. She said she has spent all that she has. All that she had. If you're sick, I'm going to tell you, you want to be helped. Now, I want to say to you this morning, I am not a good patient. I am not a good patient. I don't deal with pain. I don't deal well with sickness. And you don't want to come around where I'm at if I'm in a lot of pain or if I'm sick. Now, my wife, I begged her to keep her head still when I say stuff like this, but she's sitting there going, you don't want to be there. My kids will tell you, oh, I don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Now, I remember back in 2009, I had gallbladder surgery, and then 3 months later, I got pancreatitis, and I'd come down to preach a meeting in Jacksonville, or out in McClinney, Florida, and wound up in the hospital then with pancreatitis. Sediment got out and caused my pancreas, and pancreatitis is just an infection of the pancreas, and I was in the hospital. And I was in there, and they moved me around and wound up in a semi-private room. That's not a good thing. And now you'll find out how spiritual I really am in this story. You say, how do you? Well, listen, they brought this gentleman in. I don't know who he was and how old he was, but I knew he was older than I. And he was over there, and every time a nurse would walk by the door, and I'm over there, they've got me on morphine, then they've got me on Dilaudid and Percocet, and it wasn't even cutting my pain, and I'd watch a clock. I mean, I'm standing, can't lay down the bed. My head's against the wall. I'm on the side of the bed, and he's over there hollering, help me, help me. I was laying over there, and finally I come to the place. I said, shut up. I said, they're not interested in helping you. You say, what did he do? He started cussing me. And I said, stop that cussing. I'm a preacher. I don't want to hear that mess. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. And I don't want to hear you cussing. Well, the Lord did convict me. I was pretty harsh. Now, I'm just telling you part of it, amen. At least I didn't cuss him. I felt like it, amen. I'm like Joe Off. If you just wrote it down on a piece of paper, I'd have signed it probably, amen. The Holy Spirit of God convicted me, and I said, sir, I'm sorry that I hollered at you and screamed at you. I said, you're laying over in as much pain as I am. And we're both needing help. Medicine's not working. We want some, you know, I just look at the doctors and I say, hey, whatever you got to do to get this squared away and get this pain stopped, that's what I want. That's my heart, amen. But imagine this woman. She's faced with all this. She's faced with the elements of her symptoms and her suffering and her sorrow. She needed relief. But not only do we see the horrors she endured. And see, the word of God brings us, and He first of all wants us to see what she's going through and understanding her need and who she is and what she's going through and how she's struggling and how what she's facing. See, she's no different than you and she's no different than me. Facing things of life. But notice with me, secondly, notice the hope she embraced. She has endured the horrors of the difficulties of the sickness and the pain and the searching and trying to find relief. And her hope is that it will be resolved. But notice the hope. Verse number 27, I see this scripture. When she had heard of Jesus, when she heard of Jesus, oh, I do not know where and when she heard about Jesus, but she heard someone declare Him. She heard the declaration of somewhere from some source, this woman heard about Jesus. Maybe she heard about how that He healed the leper in Mark chapter number 1. Maybe she heard about that wild man across the lake that Jesus had helped. Maybe some other poor soul who lived on the fringes of society due to their uncleanness and due to what the sufferings that they were facing, or maybe some disease or struggle and the burdens of life had been touched, and she heard about it. But she heard. She heard of the one that could touch her, that could do something to her, that could make a difference in her life. You know, what we need in this world, even which we live right now, as I said earlier in Sunday school time, the uncertainties and the struggles of life and the difficulties of life. I guess it's all right me move around a little bit up here, amen. I never thought about them videoing and things like that. But think about the struggles and all that we all have seen on every side. And I know there's people that have died from this, and it's difficult, and our world has been transformed. The America that we knew, that I knew and you knew, and listen, is gone, I believe, for we'll not know it again. We have all faced things in our life. And what this world needs to hear more than anything is the message of hope. The message of Jesus Christ. Paul said in his day, "For we preach not ourselves, but we preach Christ." See, the Lord is the only one we know that can make a difference in the life. And we began to see that the declaration that she heard, but notice the determination in verse number 28 that she held and that she had. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Regardless of where she heard about Him, she knew that she could get to Him. She'd find the help that she needed. See, the message is clear today. We need to let people know, listen, there is hope. There's hope in the Savior. There's hope in the blood. There's hope and for you that are weary and for you that are heavy laden. Don't forget, there's hope, amen. There's hope in the glorious Savior. We began to see the elements of the hope that she had. But notice with me, the Word of God begins to unfold here in this touching moment as we began to evaluate her and the horrors that she endured. And we see the hope that she embraced. I need someone. I need some help. And I need someone to work and help me. I need to know, find that person that I know. She held out hope. But notice this in verse 29 through 34. Not only we see the horrors she endured, the hope she embraced, but notice the healing she experienced. The healing she experienced. Notice that this healing, it was powerful. In verse number 29 said this, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Oh, when she was near enough to him. When she got near enough to him, and she, think about this, she's breaking through the crowd, she's pushing through the press, and she's getting through the throng that's there, and she reaches out. But if I can just touch, reminded, he said, just the hem of his garment, a fragment of the cloth that clothed.